Hello, and welcome to the Community Mennonite Podcast's Palm Sunday Spectacular Super Duper episode. I'm Alicia Huber, and I'm so excited to bring you some selections from one of my favorite services of all time. This was on March 28, 2010, Palm Sunday. Jeremy Knapsaker and Nancy Heisey, assisted by several readers from the congregation, did an unbelievably beautiful and exciting children's time, complete with a palm parade and the kids singing a hosanna that underscored a congregational hymn. Jeremy told me later that he was a little nervous about how that would go, but it was thrilling. Turn up the volume. If you're a regular listener, you know that every now and then I share sermons that made a big impact on our life as a congregation. The sermon that Pastor Jennifer Davis Sensenig offered on Palm Sunday 6 years ago, called Jesus Rode a Donkey, Not a War Horse, is one of those blockbusters. Even all these years later, I hear people refer to it regularly. That Sunday was also the beginning of an annual peace parade, which CMC celebrates with many other congregations in Harrisonburg. Weather permitting, we'll be doing it again tomorrow, March 20th, 2016, and we invite you to join us. You can meet us at 1 p.m. at Emmanuel Mennonite Church, 400 Kelly Street. We'll process with our banners and palms, singing and praying for peace. If the weather looks nasty, check our website at cmcva.org. In the right-hand column, we'll post a notice if we have to cancel.
Good to see everybody this morning. You look like you're ready for a parade. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to listen very carefully because some people are going to read us a story that comes from the Gospels, and it's the story that our whole service today is going to be about. So let's be very quiet and listen carefully while we hear the reading.
After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying,
"Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.'"
So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them,
"Why are you untying the colt?"
And they said,
"The Lord needs it."
Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, the people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying,
"Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven."
Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him,
"Teacher, order your disciples to stop."
He answered them,
"I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out."
Okay, now you heard the story about the parade that Jesus was part of when he came into Jerusalem. We're going to act that out. And one of the things that it tells us is that people had cloaks. Now, you remember that gray cloth we had back at the beginning of Lent? We made a tent one Sunday, and then there was a well the next Sunday. Well, this Sunday, it's turned into cloaks. And so what we're going to do is we're going to sing a song. Jeremy's going to lead us. He's going to teach us a little part that we'll sing. And we're going to make a parade down the side, and we're going to come back up the middle, and everybody's going to get a cloak, okay? And then I want you to drop them on the aisle on the way back up to the front, okay? So you just follow me, wave your palm branch, and when you get your cloak back there at the back, you bring it up and you drop it in the aisle, okay?
Hosanna! 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 May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.
Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. One of the primary reasons we gather to worship is to thank God, for life. Now, giving thanks is something we have to learn. When we're born, we just know how to cry out for help and care and food and love. Years later, we learn how to give thanks. We don't always feel like worshiping God or giving thanks. And before we get to that line in the psalm about open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter and give thanks, there's a part that we didn't hear which says, out of my distress I cried to the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. God's people don't show up to worship and give thanks because our lives are in tip-top shape. We're like Israel, who had some distress. We've lost our footing. This week, we've lost our temper. We've gotten out of control. We've failed. We've become passive. We've suffered distress this week due to things beyond ourselves. We've been insulted. We've been ill. We've been tempted. We've been stuck. But somehow we are here this morning, thanks be to God, because of other faithful people, because of prayer, because of God, we've come to this broad place where we can see God's faithfulness through history. As we worship in Jesus' name, God gathers us into the multitude of faithful, ordinary folks. Like Abraham, who had to leave home. Like Sarah, who laughed. Like Jacob, who wrestled. Like Ruth, who remarried. Like Job, who lost everything. Like Esther, who won. Like Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. Like Mary, who anointed Jesus' feet. Like Bartimaeus, who regained his sight. We belong to the parade of God's people through history. Open to us the gates of righteousness that we may enter and give thanks to the Lord. It seems like this particular psalm, Psalm 118, was originally set for the king coming to Jerusalem after he had won a big battle. But over the years, everybody sang this psalm. Everybody prayed it. It may have started out in the royal songbook, but over many generations, it became a folk song for worship. During the season of Lent, many of us have had the scriptures open to us through the Lenten devotional. Maybe some of you have been reading it at home or in your workplaces. Throughout all our history, not only this psalm, but the scriptures as a whole, have been a gateway to God. Today, we don't go through a temple gate to worship and give thanks to God. Today, Christians find themselves gathered for worship in elaborate cathedrals, simple storefronts, homes, jails, and even outdoors. So in some ways, it's our common scriptures that are the gate open to us by the Holy Spirit. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter and give thanks to the door. Give thanks to the Lord. Fling wide the door. Unbar the gate. Jesus is coming. Today, Palm Sunday, is also a gateway to what Christians call Holy Week. This is when we enter into the most comic, intimate, fearsome, and wonderful accounts from the Gospels. Maybe you don't like all of these extremes, but even if you're kind of embarrassed by the palm branches and waving them today, and even if you're kind of reluctant to go to the basin and wash feet this Thursday, even if we're cautious about the cross and the meaning of Jesus' suffering on Friday, and even if we're doubting the resurrection on Sunday, let's be lured in by the buzz of a parade. We could just watch. Once the disciples got Jesus on that colt and began to make their last leg of their journey toward Jerusalem, the whole crowd started to see that Jesus was really living God's story. They were catching on. They had heard that prophecy from Zechariah. And when they reached the descent of the Mount of Olives, the southeast corner of the city of Jerusalem came into view. They called it the City of David, that great Israelite king from the past. From their vantage point on the Mount of Olives, the crowd couldn't see the temple yet, but they could see the city, and they began to cheer. The salvation promised to Israel and her people was on its way. Many of these folks believed that they had been rejected by God, that they were unclean and not worthy of God's salvation. But now they're seeing that the stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Today, marching into Jerusalem comes their king. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. They begin to sing this psalm, this folk song. You know how it is when you've been singing a song for years and then you sort of sing it for the first time? It was like that. This is big news. In the Gospel of Luke, this is the first time that Jesus is called king. And rather than quieting the crowds who are saying, "Blessed is the king," Jesus tells the Pharisees that even if these folks were silent, the stones would cry out. I kind of love the chance to wave my hands and a palm branch in worship. But Palm Sunday disturbs me. I went through several years of not even being able to sing the traditional Christian songs on this day because we know that that multitude who surrounded Jesus on the Mount of Olives misunderstood his way of being royal. The gospel writer kind of tips us off to the ambiguity in this parade. They cry, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord." And then they add, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." It sounds good. Peace, right? Luke's gospel connects this scene to Jesus as a peacemaker. But the cheers of the crowd are just slightly off the mark for God's story, slightly out of tune with God's song. You see, when Jesus entered the world as a baby, the song from the angels was "Glory in the highest and peace on earth." The crowd on Palm Sunday says "peace in heaven," but God's peace doesn't remain in heaven. Jesus as king will bring peace on earth. He will not be the warrior king and assume the Davidic throne in Jerusalem. He will weep for a city that does not know the things of peace and stands to miss their visitation from God. Like the multitudes with Jesus that day, many people throughout history have misunderstood God's peace. So, how do we enter this parade on a Palm Sunday? I'm ambiguous about parades and pageants in general, but a few comparisons might help us. One is the Independence Day Parade. On the 4th of July, Americans celebrate what it means to be an American, liberty and justice for all. Lord, may it be so. At Independence Day parades, we celebrate military veterans, their sacrifice, their heroism, our nation's cause. And we celebrate our country's independence won through the Revolutionary War. But there are other parades and pageants. How about a beauty pageant? Come on, some of you have at least on television seen a beauty and talent pageant, right? They kind of draw us in, Miss Virginia or Miss America. At talent and beauty contests, candidates parade down a runway. And we have, in our society, we have these kinds of things for people of all ages, even babies. The parade with which I'm most familiar, though, is an academic parade. I remember learning to recognize some of the academic colors of, you know, different universities in the United States and Europe. And many of us here have donned a special graduation gown and walked in a procession of academic merits. In fact, in a few months, some of us will wear those special colors, banners, and medals that represent academic achievements. Could a 4th of July parade or a beauty pageant or an academic procession be an analogy for worship or for following Jesus on Palm Sunday? You know, for the people who take them most seriously, these parades are life-changing events. What war hero would not remember the parade in his honor? What woman would not remember her tears being crowned a queen? What student will not remember the day that marks their work well done? Any one of these modern parades can become a rival faith for us. Now, few of us would say we worship the academy or the Western ideal of female beauty, and we don't worship America. But the parades themselves are not unlike worship. There are particular songs, right? Here She Comes, Miss America, The Star-Spangled Banner, Pomp and Circumstance. There is ritual. There is an appeal to history and ideals. And there is sometimes a power behind these events which rivals true faith in the one God. Some of the folks who paraded toward Jerusalem with Jesus misunderstood what was going on, but they were just caught up in the parade. Today, we are the loyal subjects in the parade led by Christ the King. We belong to the folks through time and around the world who worship God alone, who see Jesus as the royal ambassador of peace for all the world. I suspect that among us, we too have our misunderstandings about who Jesus is and about how we are to live in obedience to him. But we follow the one who rode a donkey, not a war horse. This is not only a sign of Jesus refusing violence, but also a sign of humility. Jesus comes to us not with academic honors or military stripes. He comes not as a heavenly ideal, but in human form, like us. Before the week is over, even Jesus would cry out in distress. Brothers and sisters, I don't believe we can just sit and watch this parade. We're not just fans on the sidelines. We are becoming like him. We are on the way. Palm Sunday is the entrance, the gateway to Christ's unique message. Enter in. And this week, bring as much faith as you have and all your misunderstandings. There's no masquerading in this parade, no costumes. Bring your expectation that through scripture, through the gathered community who washes feet and interprets the cross, that you will meet this Jesus. You've already begun Holy Week in worship. Thanks be to God. If you've already exhausted the possibilities of life with God, then feel free to just hold on to where you are and who you are. But if you're willing to let go today, to step off the sidelines and join the parade, you may find yourself kneeling, washing feet, with someone whose hopes and fears are much the same and much different from your own. You may find yourself needing forgiveness and receiving God's mercy, finding that broad place. You may find your people, your family, raised to new life in Christ. I think Holy Week might just be the gate for our congregation to meet God together. This week, we very intentionally follow in Jesus' footsteps together, and we're following the story from the Gospel of Luke, if you want to read it early on this week. It's not just that we reenact the stories of former people. We join the procession of the faithful today in Palm Sunday, in Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, the Easter Vigil, and Resurrection Sunday. If we are part of the parade this morning, I want us to affirm that together. Maybe you feel like you're kind of tagging along around the edges of the parade, and maybe you feel close to Jesus. Maybe you need to be carried along by this sacred throng of people. But wherever you're at, I hope that you will stand with me and respond by saying, "Jesus is Lord." Will you rise? We'll use the response, "Jesus is Lord." We are the church today because
Jesus is Lord.
And even when we leave this building,
Jesus is Lord.
When we experience distress,
Jesus is Lord.
And when we're under pressure,
Jesus is Lord.
When we're delivered or healed,
Jesus is Lord.
When we give thanks,
Jesus is Lord.
We give thanks because
Jesus is Lord.
When we're at school,
Jesus is Lord.
When we're at home,
Jesus is Lord.
When we pay taxes,
Jesus is Lord.
When we eat a meal,
Jesus is Lord.
When we pray,
Jesus is Lord.
When we give our offerings,
Jesus is Lord.
Even in our conflicts,
Jesus is Lord.
At night,
Jesus is Lord.
And in the light of day,
Jesus is Lord.
In our hearts,
Jesus is Lord.
And in all public places,
Jesus is Lord.
In all the world,
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. May God be glorified in our lives this week. Please remain standing for our song of response.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is a setting of John Wesley's text, "Jesus, I Believe You're Near," composed by Matt Carlson. Jeremy Nafziger arranged it for strings. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.